Welcome, members and our guests. We'll start by doing introductions of members because we are joined here from Telecommunications and Postal Services Committee. We are joined by the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. We have joint meetings with communication. So today we are having a joint meeting with basic education. So we'll do introduction of the honourable members together with your members of parliament, both the committees. But then, in terms of the delegations, each delegation will do introductions as they start to their presentation. We'll not take the introduction now, but once we call a particular company or entity or department to present, they will indicate and introduce themselves each before the presentation can start. Those who do not know me, my name is Mamoloko Kubai, well known as Kensani. I'm the chairperson of Portfolio Committee on Telecommunications and Postal Services. I've got my colleague next to me. I'm going to allow her to introduce herself before we can go to other introductions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone. I'm Noma Lungelo Gina, the Chairperson for Basic Education Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I ask honourable members to introduce themselves?
My name is Digito Dosi, for Telecommunications Committee.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Sengwa Mkize, the Deputy Minister of Telecoms and Postal Services. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Marion Shin. I'm from the Democratic Alliance.
Good morning, Cameron McKenzie on the Telecommunications and Postal Services Committee.
My name is Julie Killian. I'm a member to be of the Telecommunications and Postal Services Committee. Thank you.
My name is Nokozola Ndonina, a member of Telecommunications and Postal. Thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. My name is Woiswa Basom. I'm the member of the Basic Education.
My name is Timothy Koza, a member of the Basic Education Committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. So good morning, everybody. My name is Alfred Bojane, a member of the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you.
Okay, I think we've got all members on the team.
I'm Renee Wana Makwede Mashavela, member of Basic Education.
Good morning. My name is Desiree van der Walt. I'm a member of the Basic Education Committee.
Thank you very much, honourable members. As we start, we've got a program, I hope it has been circulated to all members and our stakeholders. We are scheduled to start, we'll do our welcoming, which is not going to be that long, and then we'll give, before I move, let me just get to the apologies. We're going to read the apology of the DG. I've got an apology of Deputy Minister Motsekga and Deputy Minister Mbasuti from Basic Education. We've got an apology for Minister Twele. We've got an apology for Mr. Melda. Those are the apologies that have been sent through to us. I don't know if there's any other apologies that are not forwarded. Normally we prefer that apologies should come through to the chair. Processed properly so that we are able to process our things. I don't know if there's any other apologies. Honourable member.
Honourable Chair, yes. Honourable Lovemore and Honourable Boso has forwarded written apology. They are visiting sites this morning.
Thank you very much. We'll proceed in that. We are going, because we only have Deputy Minister here with us, we are going to start with her giving us her remarks. But just to indicate to honorable members, the intention of this meeting was for us to get into one group with anyone or that we know has a role to play in connection or connecting schools. And what we thought of as the telecommunication and what we started to pick up is that there was more or less different understanding in terms of what is connectivity in schools. Others would find that somebody goes into a school, delivers gadgets without any connection, without internet access, without training of learners, without any provision or even interaction with either basic education or even telecommunications. And final times, it's just gadgets that are left there, not really utilized by the schools. And when we looked at that, that's one of the things that made us say, no, we need to get into one room and make sure that we all understand when we say we are connecting schools, what is it that we are talking about? But secondly is to say, who has the mandate to connect? Why are you noting that entities or various stakeholders will have CSI programs that connect schools? But we are saying those who have an obligation to connect, are they meeting their obligation so that they are able to hold those accountable, either through license obligation, either through legislative mandate? But what is it that is your mandate? What is it that we are expected to do? We have asked all presenters to have at least 10 slides. We have 10 minutes to present, nothing more. I always say to those who have interacted with telecommunications, you must know we already have our questions for you. We already have a particular view about the matter. So that's what we must understand when we present. So we want you to take us to critical issues that you want us to note. We have received your presentation in advance. That's why we put a deadline for you to send so that we can look at it. And I just want to raise a concern with those who amend their presentations after they have been submitted, because it does not give us time to really go through and verify what you are saying to us. Because the intention for you to send information in advance is for us to look at the information that you are sending so that we can do our preparatory work. So once you change your presentation, you make it difficult for us to do our work as oversight. So I want to appeal, I've accepted those presentations for today, but I want to appeal through the department to assist the committee to be able to do its work effectively. Because once you change overnight a presentation, we don't have time to look at what we have said in the presentation and verify it. Otherwise, we would be neglecting our responsibilities as an oversight committee to verify the information that you give us. Because it does not mean when you send us the information, it's the whole truth. We need to be sure that what you are saying to us is actually the true reflection of what you are saying. So you must be able to give us an opportunity to be able to go through your presentations and look at the information you have provided in front of us. Second issue, last issue from my side is to say, more than anything here is to engage and hear what are the challenges that are there, how do we overcome those challenges, what are the gaps, and if somebody has a success story, how do we learn from that? Because you might find that one or two has a success story. How do you build over that success story and be able to provide better service to the schools? We'll also, from the departments, look at their coordination role. If there is coordination, how is it done, and deal with that. So we really hope that the presenters today are going to be honest with us. This is not a platform where we're here to protect each other or to justify each other, but we are here to find solutions. So if you are honest with us, we'll be able to find better solutions for our schools. But if information is hidden from us and we go to oversight, because once you tell us we've connected, we'll go and see those schools. We'll go and verify the information is before us. We'll physically go to them. That's why we've asked basic education. They are forever in schools. So they will verify the information for us if we are not able to get there. So it will be said when the committee later has to pronounce to say this entity has lied before Parliament. So we really appeal that let's have a discussion in an honest manner, that we are not here to find faults in people or any entity, but we are here to share how do we best assist our schools and assist the Department of Basic Education to be able to deliver quality education for all our children. So those are my few remarks. Co-chairperson, just to give you two, if you have some few remarks in terms of the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, as a portfolio on basic education, I think we should thank telecommunications sincerely. We've been in discussion with the Chairperson around this issue. It's one of our greatest areas of interest as education, is to say, how do we see ourselves moving away from papers and chalkboards? How do you see our sector being transformed? How do you see our sector moving towards e-learning? And for us, that can solve a lot of challenges that we are faced with as the portfolio committee, and our department is being faced with the issues of textbooks and so forth. So really, for us here, we are here to listen. We are here to get the ideas from all your entities, the stakeholders that are playing part in this. And hopefully from this meeting onwards, today we see it as a breakthrough where we see education moving forward. Really, we know the expectations, we know the obligations that we have. Looking at the NDP, we know by 2030 where we should be, and we are saying this is not going to be the start, but today it's going to make sure that we understand where we are, all of us, and we understand even the way forward, how we're going to travel through. So we are so eager, really. We know there's so much that has been done in our schools. Some don't even know exactly what is happening, but today we are saying under this one roof, we'll get a chance, we'll get an opportunity to coordinate all these efforts that are being put in our schools, and make sure that we move forward knowing exactly where we are and what is it that we want to achieve in the next few years. So, Chairperson, we are just in your hands. We'll be here, we'll be very active participants, but we know most of the things we'll be getting from the stakeholders from our own department, and as a recipient of education, we hope and believe what we are going to hear today is going to assist us as we move forward. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Co-Chairperson. Before I ask the Minister to, Deputy Minister to make remarks, just to indicate that Honourable Killian is assigned to the committee, though it has not been adhesed fully. So in terms of the composition of her party, it's within the limit that is expected for telecommunications. I thought, let me just highlight that to members so that it's not assumed that she's not a member of telecom. Thank you very much. Honourable Rose, where you are sitting is very far. We are going to forget you where you are. We're going to ask you to try and move the side of members. Otherwise, by the time we engage, we might not see where you are. Honourable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll try to be brief. Honourable members, also I'd like to greet the leadership of our SOE in attendance. The DDG Ngobeni will make a full presentation. I would like to just highlight a few points. Again, to repeat the apology for Minister Gwele. What I would like to say, Chairperson, is that as the department, we are a few months, but our operations are informed through the Electronic Communications Act of 2005 as amended. One of the objectives of the Act is to promote the universal provision of electronic communication network services and electronic communication services and connectivity for all. And then, of course, Chairperson, you know, in terms of our policy pillars, e-governance is one of the important pillars of our policy. And also what's important to mention about is Section 73, which provides that internet services in public and independent schools must be provided at minimum discounted rate of 50% of the total charge levied by the licensees. So those are some of the things that we are consolidating as we are providing policy guidelines as to how what do we need to do in connecting our schools. Of course, ICASA's here, they will be able to articulate their positions, but we are looking at their role with huge interest because governments all over the world, they can only leverage through policy interventions and regulatory framework. So we are hoping that some of the policy guidelines that we have put forward will be reinforced and monitored through that level as well. One of the things which I wanted in my opening remarks to emphasize is that we're at a point where we can say the first program under which e-connectivity was rolled out is the 2010 World Cup, FIFA World Cup project. I think the Department of Basic Education is beginning to do an audit of what has happened and how well have we done. And we are also interested in those outcomes because it will help us as we move forward to move beyond compliance and to really do more and strengthen the partnership so that we can all look at impact, also knowing that the South Africa Connect policy is really about economic inclusion. So it's important for all of us to understand the bigger picture of what we are doing. We are wary and cautious and don't want a trap where this is seen as a corporate social responsibility project. It's far more than that. It's a partnership with government so as to achieve broader national objectives. And in terms of education, we have a forum which has not been functional, Chairperson, I must admit, since we came on board in this administration. Previously, it was under the care of Deputy Ministers. That was the Public Service Administration, and I suppose now that CETA has come under us, it will be us and basic education and science and technology. So through that forum, we have an opportunity also to get clarity from basic education as to the plan, rollout plan. At the moment, we get approached by different people, so you almost can go to an area because you have interest in the area, but we are hoping that we'll consolidate and be able to account to Parliament in terms of a plan for each and every region and district. There is also, Chairperson, the DTPS, DBE, ICT, Interprovincial Working Committee. Through that as well, we'll be able to account from a common understanding of what the two departments are doing jointly. Chairperson, there is also an end-user services package which has been agreed upon by basic education, and I think as we move forward, we can all see that is really the bare minimum. Maybe we, as we evaluate, we'll be able to do more for the school. And besides that, Chairperson, I will allow the DDG to make a formal presentation. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, DDG. We start by introduction with the delegation.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, and colleagues, and Honourable members. name is Dinyiko Mobin. I'm the DDG in the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, responsible for infrastructure support. With me, I've got the Sia Koza from the Ministry's office. So I've got Terence Naidu, who is the director responsible for it.
Always prefer them to introduce themselves, because sometimes in the delegation, you find somebody never get to speak. So let's allow them to introduce themselves.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, my name is Sia Koza from the Ministry.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Sheriff Stiley from ICT Infrastructure from the Department.
Thanks, Chairperson. In terms of our presentation, we will address the role of the Department with regard to schools connectivity and also with regard to broadband rollout, and our responsibilities and activities and the policies which are governing e-education. And we're also going to be dealing with the issues around support that's required once the connectivity is in place in our schools, and what kind of budget and monitoring activities that we're involved in. We're also going to highlight some few project challenges that we've encountered, which also lead to the lessons that we've learned, which are important going forward in terms of school connectivity. In terms of our role as a department, the key role is the role of coordination and also facilitation of implementation. I'll elaborate further in terms of some of the key activities which are necessary and why coordination becomes a challenge in some of the instances. The government approved the South Africa Connect, which is the broadband policy, the strategy and plan in 2013, which really seeks to roll out broadband in all schools in the country and also ensure that everyone is able to use ICTs to improve their lives and also to facilitate the delivery of services by government. And the department is actively involved in initiatives which are to stimulate uptake and usage through the skills that need to be imparted into the people who use them, and also the skills that the people who need to deploy these services need to have, both from an e-education, e-health, and just e-government point of view. So our role is very critical in terms of the coordination and the implementation. This slide is very important. It also addresses what the chairperson indicated in the opening remarks in terms of how we view schools connectivity. And our view is that schools connectivity has got to be viewed as an ecosystem, as a value chain, looking at the different elements which are involved. I'll just go through the top layer, which is you need the infrastructure, the network infrastructure to be in place, and also the services which are going to arrive on that infrastructure. But what's also important is the devices that need to be used, and there you also have to address the accessibility of those devices, how easy to use the devices, also the cost of the devices as well. And with all those, you need to have content that the people need to be able to access that content, and also you need to develop applications as well. And finally, the issue of training is very important, both for the educators and also for the learners in terms of using it. But what we are aware is that with learners, there's not much training required because they're very much advanced. But where it's critical is to look at the educators, but you also have to look at the soft skills in terms of people not being familiar with having to train the content that they are used to, they are experts, but also now they're able to use ICT to deliver that. So what's critical here is that underlying this, there's also an element of security, which is very important considering that we are dealing with learners. So we need to take into consideration what security measures need to be put in place. On the left side is just indicating the different stakeholders who are involved throughout this very chain. At the moment, it's evident that almost all the stakeholders can play anywhere in that very chain, and that creates a problem when it comes to or a challenge when it comes to coordination. So it is important so that we don't find ourselves in a situation that was painted by the chairperson earlier, that some people focus on one element of the value chain, people just go in and deliver devices. and there's no connectivity, or provide connectivity, there are devices, but there's no content, or people are not trained. So those are challenges you find eventually. So it is important that all these elements are fully in place for us to be able to derive maximum benefit of e-learning and e-education. So when you talk about school connectivity, the entire value chain is not only one of the elements. It's very important that we all focus on that. And in terms of who needs to deliver that, also talks to the issue of sustainability. So this is a very critical slide, Shepherd, in terms of what you indicated earlier. I won't dwell much on this, but these are the Deputy Minister has already indicated in terms of the legislation and the policies which is governing school connectivity. We have a 2004 white paper on education, there's E-Rate, there's also the Universal Service Obligation, and the South Africa Connect in terms of broadband, and there's also the e-connectivity plan which came, which specified the connectivity module. This is what the Deputy Minister was alluding to in terms of the model that's currently being used. And this taking into consideration the limitation of the resources and to ensure that while we've got limited resources, we're able to expand this to as many schools as possible. So ideally, we have wanted to have each and every learner to have a device that they're able to access these services. But it's not possible to do that immediately. But that's the vision that is government. We are looking into to say that eventually all the learners should have access to these devices during the school and also even after school, so they're able to learn even beyond the classroom. But in terms of this model, the connectivity in terms of the wide area network that's required, and also within the school, that connectivity within the servers, that will allow the school to either download the material and store it within the school premises, so they're able to access faster and with ease, not always have to go through the internet to access the material. And they are also, at the moment, the connectivity that it will be on a trolley format, so that it's portable, so it can move from one classroom to the other. It also addresses the issue of, because some schools don't have strong rooms where you provide the lab for connectivity. So this is just a model that addresses some of those challenges that we identified earlier. And you also have a server, a printer, and a projector per school. So we are hoping that this, at least as a start, enables that connectivity and for kids and the teachers to start using the ICTs for teaching and learning. And in terms of the support that is there in our monitoring, with regard to the 2010 FIFA legacy project, at the moment it's a toll-free number where schools can call to that number for the challenges that they experience. And the different challenges, it's either unable to use the services or sometimes genuine technical challenges that need to be addressed. There's also a limited warranty on equipment. So these are issues which are important when you start looking on the issues of sustainability. That beyond the initial connectivity, how do we ensure that the sustainable connectivity in the schools? And with regard to the universal service obligations, I think Castle will also go into detail with regard to this, but these have been issued to the licensees. We have been awarded spectrum licenses. And the support is that they will provide support initially and eventually you start up on the universal service access fund, they will be able to provide that support in terms of continuous access to the services. And there's also the element of training. There's training that's going on at the moment for those schools who have been provided with the connectivity to ensure that the teachers are able to use the technology, and also to provide high-level support as well for some of the things that can be resolved within the school before they even call others. So there's a training which is going on at the moment. And we also do the budget monitoring through minutes for the state-owned entities and companies to submit a budget for the review by the department. Another aspect of the monitoring evaluation system is how we monitor the impact of this, because it's good to provide the connectivity, but eventually it's got to lead to some improvement in the education and how the schools perform. So at the moment, working together with the Department of Basic Education, will be a process to start auditing some of its connectivity. And considering that the connectivity was only finished in March, so we need to allow some time to, for the schools to start using that as well, you know, to resolve some of the challenges that we're encountering. We're also going through some of the on a random basis, some of the schools just to do some audit and check whether the schools are using the connectivity that's provided there, and we're also getting reports from Telcom in terms of whether they're using it. In some cases, they're not using it. We need to find out why they're using it. So we're going through that as well. And then ICASA will be doing the monitoring for the universal service obligation. So our view is that after a year, that's about 12, at the end of this financial, we should be able to start monitoring some of the impact in the school in terms of the ICTs for those schools just adopting it. So the training is still ongoing, so some will be training later, so they'll start using the ICTs much later. So, but we have to start so that people get used to this use of ICTs for teaching and learning. And here I'll just quickly run through some of the few challenges which tend to delay the project rollout, which are important for all the stakeholders who are involved in to be aware of. Also the issue of data accuracy to the changes that happen either in the school's environment as well. And in some cases, the infrastructure in some of the schools is not adequate to allow that. There's no power to enable it. And there's also the issue of communication, which is very important for all the stakeholders so that they are aware. And issues around security as well that need to be taken care of, because once the infrastructure is deployed, it becomes the asset of the school. So those issues need to be formed part of the sustainability loop going forward. And we find instances where some of the equipment is not being used, and it's because the teachers have not received training, and they feel that the devices are too expensive for use, and then the other not used to kids, but there's really a matter of training and being aware of the need. And some just switch off the equipment, although that's more a technical issue, that the parents create the impression that they are not using the equipment or there is a problem on the connectivity, then from a technical point of view. So those are things that we need to impart as we develop out. In terms of the lessons learned and the way forward, it is important that all of us have an overview of the entire value chain when it comes to school connectivity, not focus on each on separate element. And in terms of the coordination, currently you'll either find one entity responsible for the entire value chain or one just focusing on one of the elements. But it's important that there is critical coordination so that even when we focus on geographic areas, we are all going to those geographic areas, but it doesn't help that we provide connectivity in one area and then we go and provide through CSI, because besides the people in this room, there are other private sector companies through their own corporate social investment, they donate the devices, but it doesn't help this picture if the coordination is not very clear. So it's important that we all work together in that.
Thank you very much, DDG Ngobeni. Members, I didn't indicate, if you look at the program, we've got discussions and questions, that's why we've allocated sufficient time. I think we've got more than an hour on questions and discussions, so I'm going to run to the next presentation. The first one did very well in managing time. We went a bit out of 10 minutes. I'm going to ask acting DG of DBA to introduce himself and maybe make a few remarks and the team introduce themselves. Acting DG Mwele.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members and colleagues. My name is Matanzima Mweli, acting DDG for curriculum, and then I'll request the two colleagues to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, colleagues. My name is Siliki Kavani. I'm the Acting Chief Director for Math, Science and Technology, ICT and LTSF in the Department of Basic Education. Thanks.
Good
Good morning, my name is Phil Nithi from the Department of Basic Education. I'm responsible for curriculum innovation and e-learning. Thank you.
Chairperson, the presentation will be done by Mr. Nithi. Thank you.
Comfortable because we thought we'd give you some few minutes to make remarks in the instance because the minister and the deputy minister are not here. If you're comfortable, we can proceed. Okay. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think largely I need to indicate that the presentation that we are making here is in partnership with the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. Largely we'll be reporting on the progress that we have made in the sector, and we have divided the presentation into two phases. The phase one being what we have already completed end of this last financial year to this year, and the second phase is going forward on what are the plans that we are putting in place to address connectivity of schools. We start first with the project that Master Ngobeni has just been talking about, the master service agreement that has been signed between the main Department of Communication, the Department of Basic Education, and the provincial departments, including Telkom as a service provider. The funding for this 2010 project was from the World Cup Legacy Fund, which was provided by the then Department of Communication to implement the phase one of the connectivity plan for schools. That phase looked at approximately 1,650 schools, including 125 innovative schools across the country. And that we focus on a specific proof of concept district, which I'm going to show where those schools are located. It provided both connectivity and end user devices. In the end user devices, we concentrated on the 1,250 schools. Out of that, we currently have connected and provided those end user devices to 1,244 schools. We have conducted an audit, as my colleague was saying, and we have compiled a report which we have provided to both the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services and Telkom as a service provider. Around that area, we have further attached in each district. We looked at the schools, the location of the schools, and located a teacher center that will support those schools, because for us it is critical that as we roll out connectivity, we have a center where those schools are going to be supported. But beyond those seven ICT resource centers which we have connected in partnership with Vodacom has also committed in the past year to connect 31 other teacher centers, which we hope that the coming phases will be around those 31 teacher centers. And in the coming year, in planning forward, 20 more teacher centers we have agreed that they will be connected through the same initiatives as going forward. The teacher centers that I was talking about in the proof of concept are the ones are those in the 9 different districts, and those are the schools which are benefiting from those teacher centers. So in essence, all that has been completed, the devices are there already, and connectivity is up and running in those selected districts of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. Though there are challenges which I think Master Ngobeni has addressed, but I'm going to concentrate on where we are going forward. The Vodacom Teacher Centers, in a nutshell, which have just now been connected, that's a breakdown of them. They have also been provided with infrastructure and connectivity, and they are all up and running as we speak. In terms of phase two, we start with a broadband policy, which we are participating fully. And we've also done the provincial visits with the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. And a business case has already been prepared, where 4,444 schools have already been provided to the Department of Telecommunication and Postal Services. In this initiative, we are looking at all schools who are building on the NHI initiative, meaning that all schools are around that area of the NHI. The third phase of connectivity through the Connect SA is going to concentrate on those We have further provided a user requirement that was, I think, part of the user requirement has already been shown there, for schools to be connected, and that list of schools has already been cleaned, I think, in terms of making sure that the addresses and data are correct. That we can skip. And in terms of the license obligation, it's a process that we started, I think it started gaining momentum last year. We have to date provided those 3,200 schools to the DPSA for connection through the universal license obligations that is imposed on the licensees. And there were challenges which I think we were made to believe that we couldn't move with that. But if we can say what progress have we made in terms of the license obligations, in terms of the schools that we're connecting with in partnership with the Vodacom, 60 of those 333 schools met the requirements as we have put it in the specification document that we have submitted. And we have also prepared and provided ICASA with an ICT specification for special schools and the list of those schools, because those are the schools that we are going to prioritize in the next financial year as we begin to roll out Connect SA. Going forward, what we have done, we actually decided to take a different approach in which we engage the provinces to identify the schools. But what we did, we looked at the database of schools that we have and said in the plan that we are putting going forward, we will want to see 30% of the schools being connected in the first year, and that number increasing until within a period of 5 years, all schools are fully connected. But what we have done in the meantime is to put up an education network that is currently under construction, and I think members might want to monitor the development of that. It's www.dbecloud.org.za. That's the network that we've created. We've broken down further connectivity into two. The way we view connectivity is that we have connectivity for admin and you have connectivity for teaching and learning. The list that we are looking at is the top list, those are the total number of schools there that we have in the country, the 24,000 schools. And we are saying, what's the baseline? How many of the schools currently are connected in terms of admin in their whole country? And we say that 7,000 is the schools that, the number of schools, which gives us around 29%. What I need to explain is that as you look down the provinces, the empty spaces do not necessarily mean that there are no schools in those provinces, but it's data that is still outstanding that's going to be provided, so it's work in progress. The baseline in terms of connecting schools for teaching and learning, we are sitting at 5,227 schools, which is around 21% with the number of schools that we have. And we then say, going forward, if we have to plan, how many schools do we still have to connect for the coming 5 years? We have 17,358 schools nationally that needs to be addressed for admin purposes. And we also have 19,000 schools which are outstanding for teaching and learning. So those number of schools are the ones which we then worked on breaking them down and breaking them into the number of schools per province, looking at the total number of schools on the screen left column. So our plan is that the first year we take 30% of the school. While the first year the broadband plan, SA Connect is looking at 2015-16, we're saying with the base that we have, we can look at it as a first year. 30% of the schools should be connected by now, and we are looking at the total number of schools, 5,000 in terms of first year, and around your 5,716 in terms of access to the education VPN. The second year, we would like to increase from 30% to look at 50% of the total number of schools in the country, which will give us 8,679. And for the core business of education, which is 9,604, we are hoping that we'll be able to meet that target of the 50% as we have said it out there. We have shared this information and we hope it is going to be part of the implementation plan of the Connect SA. Year number three, which is 2016, we are saying 80% of the schools will be connected, and that's the 80% and the breakdown. And year number four, we are looking at 100% for the admin and 80% for teaching and learning, meaning that in the last year we'll be left with only 20% to connect. So that's the overall plan that we have prepared Chairperson going forward with those targets. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DBUT, for the presentation. I'm not so sure if the next team is close by to present. I know this time they have put the slides and presentation to the side, which at times it makes it a bit difficult. We'll take all comments and questions later. Shall we move to Ikaso? I know there's Ikaso first in terms of the program that I have, and then it should be followed by Fentech. After Fentech, it's Yusasa. I'll give over to Councillor Ndlovu to first do the introduction. I know Councillor Ndlovu is leading the delegation of the Council, if I'm not mistaken. Over to you, Councillor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the Deputy Minister, and all the honorable members of the committee. Colleagues, my name is Megan Jofu. I'm one of the nine councillors of ICASA. I have with me a team. I'll allow themselves to introduce.
Good morning. My name is Councillor Marcia Fasukwa.
Good morning. My name is Palazile Fongwana, Chief Executive of the Science Council.
Good morning, my name is Godfrey Malmena from ICASA.
Good morning, I'm Una Tibanga from the Chairperson's office.
Chairperson, I think it's important that as ICASA we give a brief background of what has happened in the past, because I want us to have the context of why we are here today. ICASA started a process of reviewing the obligations that were given to all the operators. Remember, in 2005-2006, the ECA was introduced, and there was also the ALTEC judgment that made some of the what we used to call them were now given a new status as ECN and ECS and licensees. And once that process was finalized, it meant that some of the them that were operating outside the ECA in infrastructure processes were now brought into the fold of ICASA's mandate. And ICASA then revised the obligations that were given to the operators. The operators that were given obligations were only six, and it was MTN, Vodacom, Cell C, and Neotel. Telkom also was in the mix. But the Telkom was not given obligations on internet provision of schools. And what happened then was the schools were then put forward as a priority, and we said to ourselves, we'll deal with the other obligations later. And ICASA then started the process of engaging the operators and the Department of Basic Education and the then DOC to say, how do we proceed? Because in the license conditions, the issue of giving out computers was never part of the obligation. And the operators had issues about us saying to them they must now provide computers, because they said computers were not part of their business. And we engaged the operators for almost 2 years to say it is important that when we talk about connectivity, we actually include the issue of computers, because connectivity can no longer be just the dongle as it had happened in the past. And Chairperson, I also do not want to go back to say who did what and what went wrong where, because the reality is that all of us, we did not do our jobs well, because there was no proper coordination. And I think DDG Ngobeni did actually mention that, and also the Department of Basic Education is mentioning that. That is why it is important for us moving forward that we need to work as a team. USASA was also brought into the fold, because we realized that Section 73 of the ECA could not be implemented without USASA's involvement. And therefore, Chairperson, I'm just happy that I could give that background. Can I get the slide, Umut? The ICASA legislative objectives are in the Electronic and Communications Act, which is to promote the universal provision of electronic communication networks and electronic service and connectivity for all. It is also to promote the empowerment of historically disadvantaged persons, including deaf people, with particular attention to the needs of women, opportunities for youth, and challenges for people with disabilities. We also prescribe terms and conditions on any universal access and universal service obligation licensee. ICASA started this process. We license entities to provide the communication services. And whilst we were doing that, we imposed terms and conditions in return for us giving and granting them a license. And those conditions would include universal access and universal service obligations. I must mention that these universal service and access and service obligations were generally of a social nature, and they were actually meant to benefit targeted communities, that is schools, public institutions, and underserved areas. It was also to expand the reach of services, including infrastructure. I have mentioned that four operators had their school connectivity obligations, and we have since finalized the process. We've given Cell C, Vodacom, MTN, Neotel, Centec, we have not given Centec and WPS. We finalized Cell C, Vodacom, MTN, and Neotel for now. We have discussions with Centec and WPS, because those were the two operators that were given the 2.6 spectrum. And I must mention that Centec has since returned the spectrum back to ICASA. WPS still is a licensee of the 2.6 spectrum, and we are having discussions with WPS on the way forward. The commencement date for the implementation of all these new obligations was the 1st of April this year, and we're expecting operators to complete implementation within 5 years. But I must say that they can complete in less time if they are capable. The 5 years is not cast in stone. Failure to complete within 5 years carries a hefty penalty. I think in the regulations that we issued, we do have a certain percentage of how much we charge them when they do not comply. Each operator is given 1.5 schools, except for Neotel, who is given 750 schools. What did we mean by school connectivity? We had discussions with the Department of Basic Education. It is actually their definition of what school connectivity is that we are using as ICASA. The school connectivity means to provide schools deemed not in a position to afford internet access in the commercial market for the purposes of teaching and learning. And it's also there to increase the knowledge-based accessibility to wider resources within the learning environment, and also to widen the scope of imagination of learners by interaction with a wider population by way of communication via social platforms, that is email. We actually asked the department what will happen to other social platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and they promised us that they would have some firewall measures to prevent that kids access that during learning time. In the main, the issue of school connectivity is to enhance the educational process for our learners. What each school will have will be 25 computers, one computer for the educator, and one computer for the administrative purposes. All computers will be connected on LAN within the school, and all computers will have access to the internet. All LAN within the school will be connected to DBE portal for content access, but we've just realized that the DBE portal is under construction, according to Ms. Demnitz. Mostly these will be housed in trolleys. Each time a class wants to use the computer, they will be wheeled into the class. Each trolley will have a power for charging that can be locked away and be securely stored in a strong room for safety. Because what we're told was that the computers that were left in the other schools have since been stolen or damaged. So the issue of the trolley model was the one that was canvassed by us to say it is safer and also very mobile. For special needs school, we will have the following, the same number of computers or depending on the number of learners, because for special schools, you might find that each learner will need a different device based on its disability. There will be a computer for the educator and a computer for administrative purposes and one printer. All computers will be connected to LAN and within the school area, and they'll also be connected to the DBE portal for content access. The computers will be specific to the needs of the students, hence the adoptable nature of suiting the disability. For example, Braille keys for the blind, printer that can print in Braille, and special keyboards or joysticks. The activities to date, each operator has been allocated the total number of approximately 1,100 schools to connect. We prioritized the following provinces: Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Northern Cape,
Free State, KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. Each province has a designated project coordinator to work with the operators from DBE. Operators have since commenced implementing the school connectivity. Some operators have commenced implementation as of 1st September. Most schools will be provided each year by the Department of Basic Education. These are schools with buildings so securely to store and implement the project. On average, each operator will be spending in the region of 150,000 to 180,000 per school. It's just an estimate. By end of April 2015, ICASA will be in a position to share the total number of schools connected. Some operators are eager to complete the implementation within a shorter time frame, that is less than 5 years. At present, ICASA is working with the Department of Higher Education and Training in order to find their specific needs for their FET colleges. We hope that the process will be finalized by December 2014. We are in the process of issuing the ITA for 2.6 spectrum, and we're hoping that the obligation will increase even in time in relation to more spectrum to cover rural schools. In total, 5,250 schools, so that LTE can be rolled out. We'll focus on health and schools and devices for demand in critical areas. There are approximately 4,400 operators in the market at present that ICASA can impose obligations on. The obligation will include focus on public health institutions and other services in underserved areas. Internet is to impose obligation on the rest of license holders currently providing communication services. The current proposed obligation are school connectivity, public health institutions, provision of containers that will have computer for access to internet and phones for voice service in underserved and underserved areas. Future activities will be done under the same basis as currently being implemented. There are currently a total of 5,250 schools which will be connected within 5 years at no less than 1,050 schools per year. There is a total of approximately 26,000 public schools, but we have since been told that it's actually 24,000 public schools in the country. Hence, a remainder of 20,700 need to be provided the same facilities. Schools with no computers in underserved and underserved areas will all be prioritized. ICASA has approximately 400 entities that are operational with only less than 6 with obligations. Hence, the remainder of the entities will be allocated to connect in the future. The process of implementing the status above is currently an ongoing process. The authority targets completing this process by March 2015. License holders will be expected to commence rollout in 2015 or at least preparation for rollout. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Councillor. We will now move to the next presentation by Centec.
Commission is led by the chairperson of the board, Mr. Thabo Mongaki. Can start and then introduce the delegation to the chairperson.
Good morning, honorable chairperson and honorable members. My name is Thabo. As I name is Mongaki, the chairperson of the board. I'd like my team, the delegation, to introduce themselves.
Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, colleagues from the industry, good morning to you. I am Tobo Kalashofte, Executive of Operations from Centec.
Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members, colleagues, my name is Carla Motwasi from Centec. The mic next to you, where the chairperson of the board is sitting, the mic is on.
I'm sending out the Centec
Secretary. Good morning, chairperson, honorable members. My name is Sunil Adams from Centec.
Possible for you to tell us what are you doing in Centec?
Yes, chairperson, I'm the executive legal at Centec.
The other colleagues who didn't say, we just know that you are from Centec. The two ladies.
I'm the company secretary for Senate.
Chair, I'm the executive business services of Senate.
Yes. Thank you, honorable chair, honorable members. My name is Monde Ndelene. I'm from the CEO's office, responsible for government relations.
Chairperson of the board, you want to make some remarks before we give to the presenter?
No, thanks, sir.
Straight to the presentation, 10 minutes.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We have put together a presentation split into two sections. First will be an intro and outline of the technology we use to provide schools connectivity. And then secondly, we'll focus on performance indicators and plans for the current MTF. So I'll lead the presentation in terms of intro and the technology used to provide school connectivity, and then my colleague Paul on the other side will focus on the performance indications and the plans for the current MTF. Thank you. Okay, the first slide just gives a highlight of our company purpose. This is well known. One would just like to focus on the mission there. Our mission is to provide open access and interoperable communications platform services that enables affordable universal access to digital content services across the country in consideration of socio-political imperatives, you know, for the state as a developing state. Values there, integrity, quality customer service, innovation, accountability, and social responsibility. Our corporate plan has been finalized, and the key guidance, or we derive our plans mainly from the public service mandate and the aligned to the strategic goals of the shareholder for the medium-term strategic framework as outlined below. You know, the strategic goal for the current the medium-term strategic framework one is to enable the maximization of investment in the ICT sector and create new competitive business opportunities for the growth. Strategic goal two, to ensure that ICT infrastructure is accessible, robust, reliable, affordable, and secure to meet the needs of the country and its people. And it is in this light that Centec continues to ensure schools and public sector connectivity through its platforms. Strategic goal three, that of accelerating the socio-economic development in South Africa and facilitate the building of an inclusive information society through partnership with businesses and civil society across three spheres, that's national, provincial, and local government. Strategic goal four, to improve departmental performance and enhance the role of ICT as the delivery arms of the government. And lastly, to contribute to the global ICT agenda prioritizing the African development. Centec uses a technology called GSAT to provide schools connectivity. And this technology, we're trying to highlight there that we have made significant progress in enabling broadband connectivity to key government and public entities such as Department of Education in KwaZulu-Natal, Centlec, Ethnics, and USASA for the ICT hub. But the sustainability of the VSAT hub remains fairly precarious, both commercially and technically. And it is in this light that going into the current MTEF, Centec considered, to review the technology and try and optimize and come up with a much more reliable and sustainable solution for schools connectivity. And in the current MTEF, we will focus the VSAT service on supporting government-led ICT initiatives, the rollout of end-to-end communication networks to rural schools. And this includes provisioning of ground stations at the schools and integrating it to our satellite hub in Johannesburg and connecting it to the ISPs to actually enable access to internet to those rural schools. And this has been a success as outlined for those above listed government and public entities. And we also look at alternative and more affordable satellite solutions for this product to ensure that the platform is affordable going into the future. In fact, we have just concluded a trial on a technology called Ka-band, and the result thereof are of promising efficiency and improved data throughput, which has been a serious challenge, with some of the schools that we have connected in. So we're hoping, from the further implementation within the current year, we're hoping to see, throughput improve at those schools that have been provided with access to school connectivity. Chairperson, thank you very much. I'd like to hand over to my colleague, Anadapa.
Chair, speaking from the strategic goal, our objective of ensuring universal access, we have targeted ourselves to connect for this MTF 135 schools for this current financial year, 225 for financial year 15-16, and for the financial year 16-17 to connect 270 schools. It is important to note this will be done through commercial agreements with the Department of Education. And in terms of our CSI connectivity or our contribution for CSI, we would like to continue to contribute 14 schools per year. And just also looking at what we're able to connect for our customers, in this particular case of SASA, we've been able to implement 62 telecenters in the recent past, which are spread across the provinces. Now, looking at the our current customers in VSET, which is the Department of Education in Free State and also in KwaZulu-Natal, through working closely with the provincial departments, we've been able to successfully roll out 27 schools in Free State and 89 schools in KwaZulu-Natal. In terms of our CSI, our CSI strategy is guided by promoting people-centered, needs-driven, sustainable development through ICT interventions. We've been able to connect 58 schools. In connecting the schools, we've been able to provide a full end-to-end computer laboratory, which will consist of us renovating the room, furnishing the classroom, providing the computers and connectivity for 5 years. Furthermore, the IELTS have empowered even the local ICT businessmen or businesses to provide support for the school. So we contract them to support the school. Now, this is just to show in terms of the work that we have done. If you can notice in terms of nationally, the Bloemfontein and the KZN schools are the ones that are are having more schools, and this is through the successful working together with the provincial government and being able to contract us to implement further schools. We use our CSI as a trial for the schools to be able, for the department and also the school, to experiment and experience the benefit of connectivity. And through that successful engagement, we were able then to implement more schools. And this is also a spread provincially. And as mentioned, where we were able to succeed was through Bloemfontein Free State and also KZN. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much, Santek, for the presentation. Shall we get Yusufa? Shall I get Chairperson Khadebe to make some remarks and introduce the delegation?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and the Honorable Members present, my colleagues from the state-owned companies, I greet you all. Thank you, Chair. As they're setting themselves up there, I would ask my colleagues who are with me to introduce themselves, particularly members who come from the USAF board that is responsible for this particular function and management. Let me also, Chair, thank the opportunity that you've been given this morning to speak on our role as USAF, as the managers of the fund, USAF, in this critical space that we're discussing this particular morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister and members, honorable members, my name is Zandile Mdlaza. I'm one of the board members of USASA USAF. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Samuel Dwaba. I'm the non-executive director at USASA. Thank you.
Morning, Chair, board members, Deputy Minister. My name is Agnes McDonald.
My name is Damien Kosi. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of USASA.
Good morning. My name is Maha Tumwila. I'm the Executive for Performance Management at USASA.
Can you request the presentation?
We start off, Honourable Chair, looking at the obligation to connect schools and where we fit in there. If you look at Section 88 of the Electronic Communications Act, we find our mandate there. It specifically stipulates that we are to connect further schools and further education and training colleges as defined in the South African Schools Act. In the case of public schools, those that are recognised by the provincial departments as well as the national department. The same with the independent schools and the independent further education and training colleges. We are also then obliged, as everyone, with respect to enhancing the NDP and SIP 15. And so how do we do it? Effectively, because we are mandated to look at underserved and underserviced areas, we use a model that is well used throughout the globe. That looks at does an access gap analysis and informs us on where the deficit is and therefore the definitions. And those were done, those definitions were drawn up in 2008, gazetted in 2009, and regulated in 2012 by ICASA. Effectively, what it means is that where the network operators do not see profit. We are mandated to then subsidize by way of a partial subsidy or a grant depending on the deficit and incentivize them to go into those areas. In terms of the access programs, the board in 2013 and 14 took a strategic decision to specifically focus on schools and the connectivity thereof. What we then did was to hand over community access centers to SMMEs. So the ones that Fentech was referring to that they are connecting for us are typically the SMMEs, the telecenters. What we've been doing since then was to focus purely on assisting the departments of education in each in the provinces to implement broadband networks and broadband-related projects. Now, how do we do that? If you look at number one and two, those are the networks. So the schools fall into the access devices and access facilities. And we do that by way of establishing the areas through the approved APP. We then approach those specific areas, the departments of education in those specific provinces, who then confirm the list of schools, knowing the environment, assessing the readiness, and so on and so forth. We then submit that list for approval to the board for ratification, and then we proceed to deploy the schools in those areas. We do that specifically because we understand that we are not in those areas and therefore we would not be have a complete understanding of the state of readiness of the schools themselves, but also of the teaching and the learning staff as well. Now, how do we do this? We deploy a Wi-Fi model wherein we install a router which we connect to an access point, and then we ensure that the entire school is Wi-Fi enabled. So effectively what we do is we turn the school into a Wi-Fi hotspot. We have an example of this that we did in Gauteng, Pepeni High School. And if you go there, you'll find that in a 2 kilometer radius around the school, there's connectivity that is available. That's the model that we deploy. Now, if we take a historical view, my apologies, it looks like my one picture is gone. We initially started off with the thin client model, which was a fixed classroom model with your normal desktop computers. It has its limitations in that there's no movability and so on and so forth. We then migrated to the laptop model, the one that Mr. Mnisi indicated before, the trolley model, which allowed for a movability of the laptop. However, you still did not have full usage or fully integrated e-learning in that. In the last financial year, we then piloted specifically in Singa and Emalahleni, which we did together with MTN, a tablet approach, wherein there were tablets at the schools that were used for learning. However, the students were also provided smart devices, so they could actually access learning in their home environment as well as in the school. But also within the school, they were able to continue learning outside of the formalized classroom environment. If we take a historical look since 2012, we have spent in the region of 26,300,000 just focusing on school connectivity with those four or five provinces specifically. The bulk of it went into the Eastern Cape and the Free State. Limpopo, Northern Cape and the Western Cape were on the lesser side. The connectivity takes two forms. I mentioned the project that we did last year with MTN in Singa and Emalahleni. And in this, there was a need to upgrade the infrastructure in those areas. In both areas, there was only 2G, and in some areas, there was nothing. What we did with MTN was to go in there, upgrade their base stations, and they also constructed some new base stations. And then through that, we connected schools, clinics, and other provincial institutions. We took that infrastructure for both Nsinga and Malatin from a 2G to an LTE in many instances. So that actually even had an improvement on the quality of life, not just for students, not just for government employees, but for the ordinary person on the ground. And that's just a little bit of the information. You'll see 400 smart devices in those areas as well. Now, this model combines the infrastructure rollout as well as the connectivity of the school. Educators were provided tablets. Learners were issued with tablets to use at school as well as outside. The model not only benefited schools but also other government institutions such as police clinics and other municipal offices as well as local businesses. Going forward, this is a model that we would like to see happening, rolling out, where internet can be accessed anywhere within the schoolyard, where all learners, or at least the senior learning classes, have those mobile devices for effective learning, where all educators have mobile devices, And the school has a minimum of at least 40 within the school for normal classes. Now, this model allows us to answer four chapters of the NDP, namely Chapter 4, which is around economic infrastructure, and broadband is a critical component in that. Health promotion through the connectivity of clinics, improvement of education for both learners and teachers and the administration as well, and of course it results in the transformation of a society. Now if we look at the current financial year, the 2014 annual plan, with respect to schools, we've got 15 schools, an allocation for 15 schools, for which we're going to be deploying in the Northern Cape and in the Northwest provinces, as well as two municipalities in Ratong as well as in Joom Rolong in the Northern Cape. Chairperson, what is important here is for us to emphasize that what we've done with respect to specifically on a micro level to schools connectivity, but also on a macro level with respect to the broadband infrastructure, is what is contained in our mandate in terms of Section 88, subsections A to E. Thank you.
Thank you very much. From the team of USASA, we'll move straight before our tea break to CETA. I will start with the chairperson of the board, Mr. Vilagazi. Over to you, sir.
Honorable Chair, thanks for the opportunity and greetings to all. To our Deputy Minister, the Honourable Chair of the Forum for Basic Education, and to all members of the House. My name is Jerry Vilagazi. I am the Chairperson of the Board of CETA, and I've got colleagues behind me who are going to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, and colleagues in the room. My name is Zef Malele. I'm a non-executive director at the State Information Technology Agency. I also chair the committee looking at issues of information, communications, technology, research, development, and innovation. Thank you.
Chairpersons, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, colleagues, my name is Dadim Gomezulu. I'm a CETA board member, and I also chair one of the subcommittees of the board.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members, my name is Patrick Munyari. I'm the CTO of CETA.
Morning, Chair, Deputy Minister, members. My name is Ayume. I'm the company secretary of CETA.
Good morning, Chairpersons. My name is Freeman Nombalo, the Chief Executive Officer of CETA.
Chair, Honorable Chair, thanks for the opportunity.
Head of Education, Chairperson. There's a lady behind me who's a member of the CETA.
Good morning, Honorable Chief. Deputy Minister, I'm Tanya Abraham. I'm a consultant for shareholder and oversight body.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We thank the opportunity to be able to just share from our own mandate in terms of our involvement as we see ourselves from our mandate as being the IT department of government, in the sense that we have a broader mandate to provide the infrastructure, and in this case, one of the key aspects of school connectivity is the broadband infrastructure availability throughout the provinces, throughout the country, to allow connectivity to take place. The CEO is going to take us through the presentation, highlighting our involvement in terms of our mandate, but also some of the initiatives that we are involved in terms of school connectivity. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. As the chair has indicated, I would basically focus on CETA's involvement from the perspective of CETA's mandate. CETA was established primarily to ensure that service delivery happens in an efficient, productive, cost-effective manner that ensures that citizens receive those services conveniently. The CETA Act spells out that mandate, and in the CETA Act it also spells out the services that we have to provide. Of note here is that in relation to connecting government institutions, we have a mandate for a private telecoms network, and it specifically says that the agency will, on behalf of a national or provincial department, do these things. So all of these services, we do them to satisfy the requirements of a government department or of a government entity or of a municipality, as the case may be. And there's a whole lot of services that we provide that once the school is connected, in the context of the discussion for today, you would need, obviously, to have systems that are run in the school. You would need to have content that is run in the school. You would need to have a number of transactions that the school, together with the learners, and the school, together with the department and society, takes place. And we do provide services in all of those areas. And of importance is the issue of information security. Over the past few years, 15 years, CETA has been doing a lot of things. One of them is hosting government data. Why is this important? Because...
CEO, just a second. Chairperson, I just wanted to inform you that we have a different presentation by CETA. It's rather difficult to follow from the new slides. I wonder if we could have a copy of it.
Yes, and now he's trying to circulate. This is what I was referring to when I started the meeting. Because it becomes difficult. Members are still in here. I thought CETA had assured me that they made sure that the new presentation has been circulated. Just move this slide. Apologies for that, members. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies for that confusion. Over the past 15 years, CETA has been involved in a number of things in terms of its mandate. Of importance is the hosting of government data. And this becomes important when you think about the sustainability of all the initiatives that colleagues have been speaking about in relation to the school's connectivity, in relation to all manner of activities that take place in government that would be relevant. But just to mention some of the things that we do for the Department of Basic Education, the issues of certificates, and some of the CSI initiatives that we do. In the CSI initiatives that we do, I just want to focus on the laboratories that we have provided in about 15 schools, primarily in rural schools, and there are some in peri-urban schools. With these laboratories, we've made available content, we've made available internet access, we've made available learning material that the kids have got to do, and in each of those schools there's between 30 and 40 devices that we've left, which gives us an estimate of about 600 devices. And in all of these, it creates an ability for learners to enjoy all of the things that the colleagues have been talking about. And I'm not going to emphasize the issue of the technogirl necessarily, because that is over and above what happens in schools. We work through the Department of Basic Education, and the work that we do for the Department of Basic Education that will also be relevant once we've connected a school is some of the things that are listed here. We provide application development for some of the things that they need to do. They task us to do that. We provide secure hosting for their applications and for their data. We print all of their exam papers. We provide maintenance and support, and that's important because once connectivity
and the devices are there at school, and there's content delivered to the school. You don't want a situation in which there is a time when that is not happening, primarily because there is no support that is being provided to keep it going. So, and importantly, once the kids have got access to the content via the internet, you need to make sure that there is proper security so that they do not get access to undesirable content, and also there is no interference with the integrity of the information that is transmitted to and from the various institutions in the Department of Education. And of course, we do provide procurement services, and I'll use an example which is very relevant to the discussion for today and how we facilitated procurement and what we'll be doing in the coming year to 2 years. Also, in the applications that we're dealing with in the Department of Education, we've got the teacher-student student bursary online application system, national certificate system, general education and training system, historical data warehouse, national certificate, vocational. All of these systems are systems that, in one way or the other, enable the functioning of the Department of Education, the functioning of the learning and teaching process. And we already have all of these systems in our database and providing them. And therefore, the role that we play fits in and combines quite seamlessly with all of these things. Obviously, the work that we do flows from the mandate and the instructions that we receive from the department. We already provide them with the network facilities that is managed end-to-end by ourselves. All of their national and provincial offices are covered already by us. We provide access centrally, and the security for all of this. So, the extension to the schools would be a logical extension in relation to the services that have to be provided. And I've spoken about the issue of security, which is important, but there's a number of services that we are able to provide through these connectivities that we do with the Department of Basic Education, I must emphasize again. Secure data connectivity, secure internet connectivity, telephony and video and conferencing. These are all the services that we provide, some of which, when you begin to think about the broadband and connectivity to schools, you can leverage a number of things, and I'll make an example in terms of the thinking on the last example. And then again, I talked about security, which is absolutely, I cannot overemphasize the importance of security, both for the integrity of the information that that gets transacted between the department and the schools, as well as other regulatory bodies that ensure that there is information that determines whether the learners progress to the next class or not. That security is absolutely critical. But also in the process of the learning, during the learning process, it is important that the content that the kids get exposed to is, in fact, the content that is desirable. So we can provide content filtering, we can provide content blocking, and safe search for all of the schools. So, and we don't want what they call white elephants. Once a school is connected, it's important that that connection continues to benefit those kids in those schools. I talked about the CSI earlier. One of the things that we've been doing in those CSI initiatives, Chair, is that we would connect the school, would train the teachers, train the learners, but also make that facility available for training some of the communities in the vicinity, and we've seen some benefits to that end. But in terms of sustainability, we provide end-to-end services to the Department of Education, and we already have all of the data that is absolutely critical to make it work. Now, as a specific example, is the project that we are doing in the Western Cape. It's a broadband connectivity project. It's going to connect all of the schools. By May next year, at least 700 schools will have been connected with 10 megabytes of speed. In 22 months from today, all of the schools in the Western Cape will have been connected and they'll have access to that 10 megabytes. In 3 years from now, all of the schools in the Western Cape will have up to 100 megabytes. And all of, why is that important? This is important because this ties in with the aspirations of the SA Connect policy. Now, this happens through the instruction that we received from the Western Cape. We are currently discussing with the other provinces. We have asked the provinces to look at the model of what we've done in the Western Cape. And in that model, we included the procurement of the infrastructure. You saw the presentation by Mr. Dinyiwe Ngobeni. You have to have the infrastructure. You have to have the services. You have to have the content and so on. And that project in the Western Cape covers all of those things. The devices that will be used, the end-user devices, is going to be in the next phase of this project. And we've invited other provinces to come and look at this model that we've done here to see how we can fast-track the school connectivity. Chair, I must emphasize that when I talk about the project in the Western Cape, I'm talking about work that has been procured, funds that have been set aside, and when we talk about these targets, we're talking about targets that will definitely be achieved. In terms of the procurement work that we do, we seek to make sure, obviously, that there is a lowest cost that is enjoyed by government. But of importance, government is beginning to talk about, we are talking just an estimate of the numbers that would be needed for end-user devices. You'll be talking monies that go into billions of rands. Now the question is, how do we then ensure that one, these devices are secure within the schools? How do we ensure that we get these devices at the best possible price? How do we ensure that in sourcing these devices, other government policies are in fact met in relation to local content and so on? And these are the issues that, as we get to that stage of these connectivity projects, we begin to engage with so that we can fulfill those other government policies. Chair, we think that if CETA has an opportunity as it did in the Western Cape, it will provide an end-to-end solution that ensures that the sustainability, that ensures that once we leave the premises of the school will continue to function with all of the functionalities that are required. Obviously, we will be working with other state-owned entities in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation done by CETA. I'm going to ask members that we break for tea. I want to be sure of the time allocated. It's 10 minutes as well. My co-chairperson is saying it's 10 minutes. It's for us to be able to get some stretch, and then we can take the next presentation. Thank you very much.